And now, here are your hosts of Lab Radio, sponsored by Coinstructive.
Are we ready?
We're ready.
All right. Mi chiamo Caterina Rindi, lo facciamo tutto in italiano, vero? My name is Caterina Rindi. We are not doing this interview in Italian. We're doing this interview in English. And should I mention that I've had one corona?
Sure.
Okay.
Does your accent get better after one corona?
It depends if you want a Spanish or Italian accent.
Ooh.
How many languages do you speak?
Four.
Wow.
So we
some
got
of them
three
better
of them.
Than others, yeah.
What's the fourth?
French. Though my French is not great.
Wow,
tolerable.
That's all right.
So when we're going to do international podcasts, we know who to call.
Like, yes.
International podcast, blockchain and Bitcoin and digital asset podcast.
Yes, yes.
And translations.
There's quite a bit happening in Europe, FYI.
Awesome.
You probably already knew this, but...
Nice.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
So why don't you start by just telling us a little bit about yourself, and we're going to talk more about the event, your reactions to it, and then we'll ask you some common person questions, and then, yeah.
I'm happy to be here with Coinstructive and to meet you guys. You guys are very nice. I have been doing Bitcoin and blockchain education and community engagement. I'm specifically looking at targeting non-technical audiences. My intention is to spread the word, to sort of evangelize Bitcoin, to get more people involved, to support the ecosystem and the industry, and to help people understand how Bitcoin is already a part of their lives, how it's going to be even more a part of their lives, how blockchain technology is already underpinning a lot of the tools that they're using, either financially, Internet of Things, more and more they're going to be seeing that. And I think it's useful for people to understand what's going on. Also, because this industry needs different kinds of people involved in it. Right now, I mentioned this on a panel that I was speaking on today. We have quite a few engineers, we have quite a few bankers, and that's great, but we also need designers and philosophers, and we need, you know,
diversity.
We need diversity. Right, I'm not even talking about ethnic or racial
yeah.
or gender diversity.
Like
I'm just talking about
intellectual,
people,
diversity.
Intellectual diversity.
Yeah.
And also because this is technology that's not just being used and affected in first world countries. It's worldwide. So we need to make sure that everyone in the world is represented in some capacity so that it's useful and usable by many different kinds of people.
Mm.
And that's sort of my mandate, my self-imposed mandate. And I love it. And so I do a lot of public speaking. Right now I'm doing independent contractor type gigs with different startups. Around education, I advise a few clients on blockchain integrations. I'm available for more work as well. I like to travel a lot. I accept Bitcoin. I didn't mean to plug myself there, but I apparently just plugged myself there.
Good.
And
plug away.
today's conference has been great. The panels have been super interesting. Tone Vase was on many panels. I feel like he should get some kind of a little like trophy for being on the most panels. I saw him physically run from one panel to the next.
He's really?
Like, yeah, he plugged in. Some speaker was gone today. Couldn't make it today, and so he plugged in for the speaker. Did his entire tutorial from two days ago or from Sunday? No, from Monday in 15
yeah.
minutes, and then physically ran next door to be on the panel for the next presentation. And it was great.
And he's moderating.
Yeah, he's hitting it out of the ballpark. He's provocative. He's funny. He's sometimes right. Make sure he hears me say that he's sometimes right. Those New York guys, yeah. So super entertaining, but great. But, you know, thought-provoking. And so other panels have also been like that. And then having Patrick Byrne here today was just fantastic.
That was amazing.
That was totally amazing. He's a great speaker, but just the work that he's done and in the Bitcoin blockchain space, but also in transforming what's happening with financial, our financial system in the U.S. is going to have repercussions beyond just the United States, and it was a pleasure to listen to him today.
And he was almost I guess not unexpected in the sense that he's really Bitcoin passionate, but unexpected in the sense that someone like him has developed such a robust use of this technology and sort of configuration, and you would expect that to come out of one of these R3 people. He alluded to the consortium of banks that are trying to, as he put it, kind of maintain their... He used some really awesome words, too, by the way. Like, what did he use? What did he call it?
Articulate.
Monopolistic...
It's true.
mandate or something along those lines, like basically saying they're trying to preserve themselves through this that consortium. So he was kind of providing some healthy warnings. So him as a character, like he's this businessman that's like well liked, and he you know, is sort of successful in the business world, but now he's innovating and diving into the Bitcoin world. It's just, I found him to be an interesting, his background and what he created seemed really different.
The perspective that he has. I mean, he's been doing this and he's been in business long enough to really understand the system and to remember the history. That was one of his points.
Right.
And so the fact that he's jumped in full two, you know, all feet in, I guess 2 feet, is a huge endorsement of Bitcoin and blockchain.
Yeah.
And the way he's done it, also working within the system, that R3 is working within the system, but I think he's right. I think R3 is really a tool of the current system, whereas Patrick's come in and said, these are the ways in which the system has not been serving us, has not been serving people, and this is how we need to change it. This is how we need to use this technology, these tools. And I'm, you know, I'm actually not, I don't know quite enough about what R3 is doing to say that they are not on the same side or that they're on opposite ends.
Right, right.
But he suggested that, and you know, I'm looking forward to seeing what happens, but I very much appreciate having him in our court, if you will.
Yeah, very significant ideas shared. Just to step back a little bit, like back to the common people, you know, inquiries, like what is Bitcoin? Or how would you define Bitcoin? Maybe is a better way.
How would I define Bitcoin? Yeah. Tone does not like it when people say it's a currency, but that's how I've been defining it for, like I said, my non-technical audiences, because I want it to be something that's relatively easy to understand. So I say Bitcoin is a digital currency. Bitcoin is a currency with which you can buy or sell things online. And right now people are using credit cards, they're using PayPal, Venmo, debit cards, and they never actually hold any of that money in their hands. It's all, you know, with cards, with, you know, online accounts and, you know, and credit card numbers plugged in. So it's that. But it is that not run by a corporation, not run by a government, not run by a bank. So it is a completely decentralized, uncontrollable peer-to-peer currency that has an underlying software protocol. The way that this currency was created and it has been written adds a level of cryptographic security that Lord knows Target isn't doing a very good job of of implementing, or even Experian, who holds all of my credit information.
That was a big one.
It's got this built-in security, and it's also immutable. It cannot be changed. So all of these transactions are tracked on the ledger underneath that underlies all this on the Bitcoin blockchain, and it's transparent. Anyone can look at it. It's easily auditable. It's just kind of this amazing technology that takes the utility of our financial systems and makes it more secure. And then what got me into this arena originally is some of the other elements of Bitcoin. The fact that it can't be controlled by a bank, a corporation, a government, means that anybody who wants to can use it. There are some logistical limitations. You need to have access to the internet. You ideally need to have a phone, but even feature phones right now, you can send and receive Bitcoin with feature phones. And another element
meaning
of
SMS enablement.
And if you take a step back and say not just Bitcoin but digital assets, the way they can be moved around, you can do that, yes, with SMS systems. But it means that populations that have traditionally not been able to access financial systems in their country or in their communities suddenly now potentially have access to this. So they can now send and receive small bits of money. That was the other element of Bitcoin. It's can be broken down to small, tiny micropayments. So you don't have to be transmitting a minimum of a dollar now. You can transmit even smaller amounts. So now we're talking about people who are sending micropayments by comparison, don't have to worry about fees, or the fees are inconsequential, and suddenly they're part of their financial systems in a way that they hadn't been traditionally. And though I don't have an economics background, I know that this is an empowering technology. And the fact that this will potentially give access to people who have traditionally been out of the system means that we can narrow that huge income gap, that huge income disparity that is going to be a giant problem. It already is a giant problem worldwide. So that's one of the fantastic features I see in Bitcoin.
Very exciting. I love that. There's some substance there of like varying angles that I've heard from different people, but you really like put it together. I like that. How about the blockchain? What is the blockchain?
Okay.
How's it going?
The blockchain is it's on the simplest level, it's a database. It's a ledger that keeps track. This is the Bitcoin blockchain. Keeps track of all the Bitcoin transactions that have happened since the very original first Genesis block generated by Satoshi Nakamoto. So every transaction, every time Bitcoin has been moved around, sent, created, all of that is tracked on this blockchain ledger. So at that point, it's just sort of this database. But it's a special database because it is not kept on a central server in the cloud specifically. It is maintained by hundreds, thousands of computers, nodes all over the world. They communicate with each other peer-to-peer, not controlled by a bank, a government, a corporation. And once a transaction is recorded on this in this database, on this ledger, it can't be changed. So it's there for all eternity for everyone to see. And this sort of additional element, this is complicated. So, it's like, let's just get that part and understand that part and understand how powerful just that is right there. I don't have to, check in with the DMV about my ID, if I'm doing something on the blockchain. Anybody can see the information that I put on the blockchain. And then I use this example of ID because you can put other information on there. It's not just financial Bitcoin transactions, but you can embed additional information in these transactions, and it can be as simple as just the date, time, the amount, and the two addresses from where and to where it went, or it can be a photo, it can be a document, it can be a smart contract that is programmed to do something, and suddenly we are including this additional information that can then automate some behaviors later, and that's a little bit of a complicated concept, but think of a simple example is an inheritance. And I have some nieces. I have two brilliant nieces, and they are 9 and 11, and at some point they're going to turn 18 and maybe go to college, probably, and I've been saving up money for them. I've got a little, what are those called?
401k. Trust fund.
Not trust fund. I wish. The California has these.
This is a special college fund.
Yeah, the special college fund for them. So I've got that. And when they turn 18... they're going to be able to tap these either to go to college or whatever it is they want to do. I can create a smart contract that will actually automate that. So let's say that I kick the bucket for whatever reason. On the date of their 18th birthday, this smart contract will just go into effect on its own. It will tap the date, look at news reports or whatever, see when it is the birthday of my eldest niece, and it will then release those funds into her bank account or into whatever account. That's an example of a simple smart contract. So this, and this is really one of the simplest of examples for it, but there's many more uses and a lot of people right now focusing on what else you can do on top of the blockchain. I think I kind of went off.
No, that's
on
awesome.
A tangent,
that was
but,
good.
That's a short explanation.
That's cool. Yeah. No, there's basically what you're saying is there's deeper uses for it. That's
so many.
It's kind of like this technology, this like technological like blob of ether that can like be worked into so many different configurations that we have yet to determine.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of what my sort of summary of what you said, even though you said it in a much more detailed way. But yeah, that's really powerful.
Huge potential. I think I want to plug, if I can,
please,
this opportunity to plug,
yep,
Slock. Slock is a, I think it's built on Ethereum, actually.
Okay.
It is an automated smart contracts for remotely locking and unlocking your house or your bicycle. If you wanted to share your bicycle and you set up a smart contract to say, okay, if you know this fellow sends $5, then he can rent my bicycle for the day. And you can do this, you can automate this whole thing on Slock. There's just quite a few really interesting use cases that are being built right now on Bitcoin blockchain, on the Ethereum blockchain.
I like that. So there's some very exciting use cases. If you could maybe wave
slock.it.
Okay. If you could wave a magic wand, what would you change about the industry?
Oh, I like that question. What would I change? I would somehow get a whole lot more women and people of color involved.
Diversity,
we are,
back
we
to
are
that.
We are missing some voices that we need here desperately. And conferences I really like the Inside Bitcoin's conferences because I feel like they make more of an effort to be more inclusive. I've seen it with some conference organizers, not with others. I think that in the startup and corporate part of it, there also needs to be an active effort to bring in different people and hire them and employ them. Because I'm just a little concerned that we're going to neglect and miss out on both huge opportunities and potentially more efficient, better improvements by missing out on.
We need all those perspectives and backgrounds to kind of, and also to your point earlier about this being a global phenomenon that affects people in all these places. Like, frankly, I may not know how to talk to someone from this one country, and the person that's from there that is picks up on the passion from being a part of the group, then they take that back to their culture, which they are very well enabled to speak to. I might not be able to talk to them as well as they are. Maybe it's language, maybe it's just certain understandings that they have. So that's kind of what I got out of what you said. What do you think are some ways, though, that we can tackle that issue?
Well, if you're wanting more programmers who are women and who are people of color, then find the schools, find the programs that are already creating that potential workforce and support them and mentor them and then hire them. Bring them in as interns and hire them. So get involved in whatever's going on in your community. Secondly, there are a lot of good women speakers and people of color who could be speakers at these events. Don't just take the people who apply, but go out there and try and track them down. And then if someone else is doing a good job of it, if Inside Bitcoins is doing a good job of it, but North American Bitcoin Conference isn't, then talk to your peers and figure out how they did it. You know, there needs to be an actual intention behind it. And
a concerted effort to go after people from diverse backgrounds. Yeah.
And if you need to make the case to your investors or whatever, then pull up the numbers, because there's absolutely no question. Is it Don Newton has statistics that show when you hire women into your organization or have them as board members, your success rates go up. She can provide that. I don't have it in front of me. But there are hard numbers to back this up.
I'll have to remember to ask her that, because we talked about maybe interviewing them or both of them.
Don's the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we need to do that. That sounds really good.
She's here tomorrow, too.
That's a really constructive discussion, too, not to play on any puns here. I think that's great. So what are some resources that listeners can look into to learn more about some of these really exciting topics you've touched on? Obviously, we can't really fully cover the scope of what's possible, but we can hopefully get people excited about it and get them to start seeking on their own and get excited like we did when we first learned.
Yeah. There are a few websites, really for beginners entry. We Use Bitcoins has a 1 or 1.5 minute video that you should just watch it like 5 times so that you can sort of absorb it.
It's only a 5-minute video.
Right. It's really not that long, but it's quick and keep watching it.
All right.
Each time it'll make a little more sense. If you have any kind of a programming or engineering background, read Satoshi Nakamoto's white paper. It's great. That's also something you might want to read more than once.
Oh, yeah.
If you are in an urban environment and you can get to any kind of a meetup, go to some Bitcoin meetups. Hear the speakers out there. There's a lot of what's happening at the conferences are live streamed. Watch some of the live stream videos. You know, figure out what the big conferences are.
Basically, be proactive. That's what I'm hearing from you. Be proactive in whatever capacity you're comfortable with, or especially getting in person and local community building, right?
Right. There's tons of information out there. If you want to quickly start using Bitcoin, create a change tip account. It's small micro tips, but it's really easy to send and receive Bitcoin. And you can use change tip on all these kinds of social platforms. So on Facebook, for example, instead of giving someone a thumbs up when you like something, send them, 50 cents or something via change tip. And that is actually all Bitcoin. And it doesn't look like Bitcoin specifically, but it is. And the more comfortable you get with using that, then at some point you're going to say, okay, well, now I want an actual Bitcoin wallet. And then you'll go to blockchain to set up a Bitcoin wallet, or maybe you want it tied into your bank account, and then you'll use Coinbase or Circle, for example. And there's tons of wallets out there. If you use something like Airbits, then you can get discounts at Starbucks. And the more you use the technology, the more comfortable you become with it, and the more understanding of the technology around it.
I love that. Yeah. So how do we get in touch with you if we want to learn more nuggets of wisdom from you? Whether it's on Twitter or wherever.
I think the best way to find me is on Twitter.
Okay.
At Caterina Rindi, and I will spell that capital CATERINA, and the last name Rindi, RINDI, all one word. I'm most active on Twitter. I have a blog as well that's a little bit lame, and you can track me down on LinkedIn. I think those are the best ways to find me.
That sounds great. We'll include some show notes that'll link to all this on the blog. And thank you so much for your time. This is amazing.
Yay!
Yes,
thank you.
For coming.
Thanks for sharing your awesome insights.
I like constructive.
We'll bring you back.
Constructive.
Yeah,
I'm slurring a little after that quote.
Yeah, we need to get you back on and talk more like in your Italian accent. Speaking of diversity, that was awesome.
Yeah, adesso lo facciamo tutto in italiano.
Beautiful.
Allons-nous. Okay, that was French.
There you go. Yeah, you can teach us to say cool Bitcoin phrases in different languages.
Do you know how they say Bitcoin in Italian?
How?
Bitcoin.
Nice.
You know how they say blockchain in Spanish? Blockchain.
Do they spell it differently?
No, it's all exactly. These are English words.